25080. Would you identify yourself for the record again, please?
Issuing authority, Chief Mark Petruzzi, P-E-T-R-U-Z-Z-I.
And Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant.
Thank you. Chief?
In May of last year, the appellate applied for a pistol permit through the town of Vernon. In reviewing his application, there was an incident that occurred in the town of Cromwell, which, while not a disqualifier, came to a point of suitability. He was denied based upon that incident.
I'll pass.
Chief?
So as I previously stated a few moments ago, I'm in the process of reviewing the appellate's application for a pistol permit through the town of Vernon. An incident was brought to our attention that occurred in the town of Cromwell in 2019, where the Cromwell Police Department was called upon to do a welfare check of a party in their town. In the process of doing their investigation, they found the appellate had driven to a Stop and Shop in their town to pick up anxiety medication. During that trip, a passenger in the vehicle with him became so concerned about his actions and his behavior and his mental status that she locked herself in the bathroom for her own safety. Cromwell Police investigated and determined that there was no criminal act and did not make any arrests in this case. However, in reviewing it, I had a major concern in that this type of action gave me a pause, and I was concerned that there is a suitability issue, and the appellate was not suitable to possess a firearm.
Would you like to cross-examine, Attorney Sherman?
I would, please. Chief, the appellant has a criminal record, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you. And the incident you're talking about in Cromwell, there's no allegation of violence, right?
There was not.
No allegation of threatening violence, right?
Just give me a moment. I just want to review the report to make sure I'm quoting it correctly. No.
Okay. And no problems with this appellant in town of Vernon, right? And no further contact that you're aware between this appellant and the other party in the 2019 incident?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Oh. Very good. Thank you. I have nothing further.
Questions for the chief?
And the incident, did Cromwell make contact with the appellant?
Yes, Cromwell did speak with the yes.
And were they concerned for his safety? Did Cromwell PD have any concerns regarding the well-being, mental health, or anything else?
Cromwell did not do any type of emergency committal or anything along those lines.
Was there an allegation that he refused to let a woman out of his car?
Yes, that was specifically stated in the report that the, from my quote, the report indicated he began to drive on the highway. She had been asking to get out of the car. He did not let her get out of the car until they stopped at the Stop and Shop.
Other questions for the chief?
Was the female, was she on scene when Cromwell arrived?
Yes, they found her in the bathroom.
And interviewed her?
Yes.
And she didn't make any criminal complaint or anything like that?
She did not. There was no physical threat of violence, and they didn't, they felt there, I would infer based upon this, that they did not have probable cause for a lawful restraint or anything like that.
Chief, what are your continuing concerns regarding the appellant based on the 2019 incident?
My overriding concern is the fact that if an incident due to simple anxiety would get someone to the point where they feel they have to lock themselves into a bathroom, that if you introduce a potential, you know, if there's other issues, when if you introduce the ability to have a firearm with them, how much that could escalate a potential safety concern to another person with them or the general public.
So is your concern about mental status at the time and decision making?
Correct, yes.
Other questions? Attorney Sherman.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to call the appellant first, please. So, how old are you right now?
28.
28. So in 2019, you were 22 years old?
Yes.
And do you remember the incident that the chief talked about?
Yes.
So would you tell the board, please, what happened? It's kind of mysterious from the paperwork.
Sure. So me and my ex-girlfriend, we were down by the river in Cromwell talking. Talked there for about 45 to an hour.
What were you talking about?
We were talking about it. There was an incident the week prior where I thought she had cheated on me, so it was kind of an emotional conversation. And anyway, she said something that hurt me, at which point I kind of backed up the car, albeit a little bit quickly, which was immature. And then I started driving. And where we were, at that point she was like, hey, take me home. And I was pretty much like, I didn't want to go home at the moment. I wanted to continue driving, which was a mistake. I recognize I should have taken her home, but that would have been right. So I turned left, and where it is, you drive about a mile, then you're on the highway, and you pass Middletown. So I just kind of drove straight on the highway for 10 minutes or so. We're not arguing in the car, no threats or anything like that. We're saying she's not asking to get out of the car on the highway because that didn't really make much sense anyways. Eventually, I realized I hadn't taken my anti-anxiety medication for a few days. I figured I should probably grab that at Stop and Shop, go back home, be done with the situation. So I asked her to give me directions to the Stop and Shop in Cromwell. I drove there. We both got out of the vehicle. She said she had to use the bathroom, so she went. I grabbed the script. I walked over to the bathroom, texted her that I was waiting outside. She didn't respond or come out, so I did some grocery shopping, was heading to the checkout, texted her again, something like, are you okay? Because she was also prescribed an anti-anxiety medication recently. She was saying it was making her sick, so when she didn't come out of the bathroom, I assumed that was why. As I was exiting the store to drop the groceries off of my car, two officers pulled me aside to ask me questions. I told them this exact thing. They told me to go home. Went home, talked to my family about what happened. A few hours later, I texted her and said, like, hey, what had happened? Because it was a surprise that the police had come to approach me. I didn't really know what happened. I didn't see her call the police. She didn't threaten to call the police or anything like that. And that's when I found out that her parents had called the police. I don't know if it was because she asked them to or they did it of their own accord or what had happened there. And that was the last contact I had with her until about a week later. She reached out. I assumed after that night we were broken up, and then about a week later she reached out to me and she said she missed me and wanted to get back together and things like that. So I, against my better judgment, did, and I actually met with her family. We had dinner, talked about everything. We were fine. That relationship lasted for about another month before I wanted to move out. She gave me an ultimatum, said, if you move to Vernon, I don't want to be with you anymore. I said, that's fine. I don't think this is a good relationship. And that was it. I haven't had any contact with her since.
So you haven't had contact with her since about a month after this incident? Is that what you're saying?
I believe this incident was in November, yes. The last contact would have been December or January.
Okay. And when you look back on this incident, how do you feel about it?
Well, I regret it. I was dumb. I was emotional. I was hurt by the conversation we had. I didn't know how to handle those feelings, and I think I was just delaying it, so I wish... Now, if I could go back, I would have just taken her home or have not engaged in the relationship to begin with because it was, you know, not a great relationship for me or time in my life. But, yeah, I regret it. It was dumb, you know.
Was that relationship causing you anxiety?
Yes. I was in therapy at the time, and the bulk of our conversation was regarding problems that arose from that relationship and ways that I could deal with that, you know, communication and emotion regulation and just that transition in time in my life.
The therapist advise you to continue the relationship or
discontinue? Well, therapists don't often tell you what to do, but after this incident happened, I talked to her in therapy and she suggested I should, when she, my ex-girlfriend reached back out after this incident had happened. My therapist did suggest at that time, like, you should probably not engage with this, talk to her, say maybe we could just be friends. And my ex-girlfriend at the time didn't like that. She was very upset by this, and I decided to go back with her. So, yeah, she was telling me I shouldn't be in the relationship.
Okay. And we submitted to the board and the issuing authority a letter from, I don't know how to say the name. How do you say it?
I would say that Kyung-hee Dickinson.
Okay. So that was your therapist, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. The board has this letter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Ralph, could I take a look at it again?
Sure, the only one I have, but yes.
I'll give it back.
I'll pause for a moment.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So the therapist wrote in this letter, they saw you for several months from 19 to 20. You haven't been back to the therapist since then. All right. I have nothing further.
One other thing I would say. I don't and never have had anxiety attacks. I did have generalized anxiety, which is what the prescription is for, but it wasn't like, hey, you have an anxiety attack or something like that.
Okay. So. Thank you. I have nothing further.
Would you like to cross-examine the witness?
Just a couple of questions.
Sure.
You stated at the date that this incident happened, you hadn't taken your medication for a few days.
Correct. Yes.
Was that normal for you to not take medication as prescribed?
I had ran out. The prescription was sitting there. I don't know why I didn't pick it back up. I just thought about it at the moment because I was struggling with my emotions and thought that would be the right thing to do. At that time, it struck out to me. I was remembering therapy and things like that.
Okay. Are you currently taking any anti-anxiety medications?
No, I have not.
How long ago did you stop taking that?
Shortly after I ended therapy in the letter.
Okay. Are you under, and just to clarify, are you still in therapy for any
I'm not in therapy. I haven't been to therapy since this occurred.
Okay. I have no further questions.
For clarity, you were going to therapy, that was your own decision?
It was my decision. My ex-girlfriend at the time wanted me to go because we were having arguments and things like that in the relationship, and she thought it would be good for me to go, and I said sure, you know, to make it work, I'll go to therapy and try to address these problems.
And your ex-girlfriend being the one involved in this incident?
Correct, yes.
Thank you.
You mentioned it was for general anxiety disorder you were taking medication?
I believe that's the clinical term for it, yeah.
Okay. I thought I saw something in here about adjustment disorder and depression.
I think adjustment disorder is a generalized term therapists will generally use because that was like a life transition for me. So like I just got out of college, I was starting my first job, I was entering this relationship, so I think that's what that means.
And you said, forgive me, I didn't hear. When's the last time you were on any medication for any sort of disorder?
It would have been shortly after I ended therapy, whatever the date is that she provides in the letter.
2020?
Yes, it was sometime in 2020. I don't remember the exact date.
Okay, thank you.
Your therapist is a licensed marriage and family therapist. Who is the actual prescriber?
I believe it was my just general physician.
And what was the medication?
Lexapro.
Okay, and how were you advised to take it?
Daily. It was like, I don't remember the dosage exactly, 10 milligrams maybe.
And how long were you on the Lexapro?
Roughly around the time that I was in therapy. So end of 2019 to beginning of 2020-ish.
So you were seeing the licensed marriage and family therapist for individual therapy?
Correct, yes.
Having the Lexapro prescribed by your primary care doctor?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
How often did your primary care doctor evaluate you for the efficacy of the medication?
Well, I wasn't taking it that long, but I did meet with her, and they gave me a typical questionnaire and things like that, and I talked to her, told her I was in therapy, I was interested in medication, and yeah.
Did you find that the medication was helpful for you at the time, or did you not notice anything?
At the time, it may have been helpful. I don't find myself wishing I had it anymore, you know.
And did you stop taking the Lexapro based on your primary care doctor advising you that you were a suitable candidate to come off the medication?
No, I don't know if I had a necessarily discussion with her. I just made the choice myself because I felt uncomfortable taking it.
So the last prescription you had, you made a self-determination to cease taking it. Did you have any trouble after you stopped the medication?
No, I heard people do get withdrawal symptoms, which I was not, or like have issues. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of that at the time and didn't face anything personally when I got it.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Yes.
Other than September 19 through February of 20, have you had other therapy or other therapists?
Yes, when I was younger, eighth grade, my parents were going through a divorce, and we did kind of a family therapy. We had a therapist come to the house and kind of talk.
Were you prescribed anything then?
Later on, I was prescribed Lexapro, which is how I knew about the medication. So when I was going to therapy in this time, I already kind of was aware I had used that medication in the past and thought it might be helpful.
How old were you then when the divorce thing was going on?
My parents got divorced when I was 12 or 13. And then I didn't take medication at that time. We continued to see family therapy, and that was a couple years later.
Okay, so the family, mom and dad go through this too, or siblings? Or
it was just my mom's family, my siblings, and her partner at the time, and their son as well.
Was anyone else prescribed drugs or Lexapro or anything else in that time?
I was the only person. I asked for it. That changes, but.
You were older then. I mean, you
correct,
said
yes. Mother. Yep,
how
I was
old
older.
How old were you when you asked for it?
16 or so. That was for more like social anxiety.
Did you ask for it by name?
No. I talked to my therapist and said, hey, I think I've hit kind of a wall with this social anxiety stuff. I think maybe medication could help. And he said, you know, I've seen you for a long time. That's okay. So he suggested me out to a psychiatrist. We evaluated multiple medications, and I met with him frequently to evaluate those things, and this is the one that seemed to work for me.
How do you think the social anxiety or adjustment disorder would affect you with a pistol round? Carrying a gun in public?
The social anxiety is mostly just regarding like making friends in school and things like that and like talking to people, which I think I've done really well to address. Like when I was a kid, I didn't necessarily make eye contact or wasn't confident talking to people. So that was more how that manifested itself. And the adjustment disorder, again, I think my understanding is that's more of a generic term. I don't know if it necessarily means one thing. At this point in my life, the real issue was this relationship.
Do you see do you see yourself making bad decisions, or do you have examples in your life where you made really bad decisions?
This is the worst decision I've ever made, honestly. Just like not going home that night and deciding I was going to continue whatever.
Because that's the issue with the whole suitability thing and whatever you have going on in your life, other stressors will affect you if you have a gun.
I understand.
That's what the issue authority is concerned about.
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem for me now. I mean, like I said, I regret this decision. I shouldn't have done it, but it's not a pattern or something that I've done since then, or really even before then. It was just kind of this incident, and this is kind of a bad relationship and a bad time in my life.
Okay, thanks.
And just a quick follow-up. When you say go home, were you and your girlfriend at the time living in this cohabiting?
No. That was my mom's house in Cromwell.
So when she asked to go home,
she was asking me to return her to my mom's house.
But she was not living there?
She was not living there, no. Her car was there. I assume that's why she wanted me to go.
Thank you. Anything else? Any other witness?
Yes, please. Excuse me, I'd like to call the appellant's wife. We can skip her name, right, to protect his identity. Thank you. So, is that correct? You're the appellant's wife?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
How long have you known each other?
Since December 2020, so like almost 5 years.
Okay. And let me just ask you a general question. How do you feel about him getting a permit?
I feel comfortable with him getting a permit. I feel fine with it.
Okay. What do you do for work?
I'm a therapist.
What type of therapist?
I'm a psychotherapist.
Okay. And Has he ever, to your knowledge, firsthand or otherwise, been violent or threatened violence toward anybody?
No.
Including you?
No, and I've never witnessed him have a panic attack either in our time knowing each other.
Mm-hmm. And if you had concerns about violence or threatening or, as the chief said, bad decision making. We all make bad decisions. I made a bad decision the other day in a restaurant. But I think we're talking about more serious bad decisions. If you had concerns like that, would you be here supporting him getting his permit?
No, I wouldn't.
Would you have married him?
No.
Okay. I really have nothing further.
Would you like to cross-examine the witness?
Just a couple questions, and I'll preface this with violating my first rule, as I'm asking questions I don't necessarily know the answers to, so I'm opening up
Please.
A little bit here on this. Is this, in your professional experience, is this social anxiety disorder something that can come back and disappear, and then come back and then disappear through someone's life?
I guess I'd just like to preface that I'm here as his wife. I'm not his therapist. So, but
I'm not trying to have you diagnose him or anything like that. But historically, can that happen?
Well, yeah, I think anxiety can ebb and flow through people's lifetime.
Okay.
And as humans, we've all experienced anxiety, right? So there's the diagnosis, which as most therapists, we kind of have to provide, but in most cases, but anxiety, depression, a lot of those things are human experiences that everyone experiences at some point in their life.
Okay. So,
it would be more suitable for you to ask the psychiatrist on the board
I
will redirect that.
Thank you.
I will not ask any more questions in that direction. Thank you. Thank you for the correction on that. Is there a time to ask that question to someone on the board?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right now? Okay.
No.
All right. So, Dr. Ask, is a history of events in the past potentially indicative of something that might happen again in the future when we're talking these types of diagnoses?
Well, his therapist said he had an adjustment disorder with some indications of depressed mood, and by the appellant's own report, probably some anxiety symptoms at the time. The diagnosis is exactly what it says. It's brought on by circumstantial, situational stressors. Many therapists will invoke that disorder in order to have a billable code for psychotherapy. If the therapist was more concerned, Mr. Teller? Could have diagnosed a panic disorder. She could have diagnosed social phobia. She could have diagnosed major depression with mixed features. But she elected to have this situationally based diagnosis. That's what many people with what I would call normal range functioning have as a billable diagnosis code when they voluntarily elect to enter into therapy for personal growth and development.
Okay. So it can come back situationally then?
Like any stressor for any of us, yes.
Okay.
And some people would choose to go into therapy to talk out coping strategies for that. Others of us would not. In my professional opinion, there are probably many of us who have never entered into a therapeutic relationship who would have met criteria for adjustment disorder with either anxiety or depressed mood for a short interval of time while we were coping with a life stressor.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Thank you. And I apologize if I put you in an awkward spot. I truly do.
I think we're at questions from the board to the witness.
I think we are. And there don't appear to be any. Final statement?
Yes, please. So we have a single instance of immature behavior.
It's
6 years ago at age 22. I was heartbroken at 22 also, and acted immaturely at the time. No violence, no threats of violence, not even in this silly little incident. I'm not defending what he did. He's not defending what he did. Obviously, it wasn't the right thing, but we're talking about a pretty minor one-off. He's in a happy, stable relationship. His wife is here to testify to that. She supports him getting the permit. He sought therapy at a time when he felt it was appropriate. It was suggested to him by the ex-girlfriend. That situation's out of his life, and there we are. I think this is a pretty small one-off, and he's a suitable guy. Thank you.
Just in summation, it was a single incident, but as been stated by both sides of the table here, all of us do have moments. This still was a moment where it brought it to the attention of the party involved. It brought it to a seriousness point where law enforcement was involved and brought it to their attention. There was a decision not to have taken medication up leading into it before. There's a possibility of any other stressors developing up and potentially having another type of situation again. Those are my concerns again with bringing a firearm into that type of situation, which may occur again.
There's a denial by the Vernon Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial is a single incident that occurred in Cromwell in 2019. The appellant and his then girlfriend had a discussion, which I believe she was going to end the relationship. They decided to leave. The appellant wanted to go to Stop and Shop in Cromwell to obtain his anti-anxiety medications. She wanted to return back to the home. He ignored her. As a note, it was not the passenger in the vehicle that contacted the police department. It was the appellant's mother. It was the girlfriend's mother who actually called the police department. That was not the passenger. The appellant just, when they arrived, the passenger went into the bathroom. The appellant went on to get his medication. The Cromwell Police Department found nothing criminal, did not find the appellant a danger to himself or others. It was just a report-only case. The appellant's 28 years old, is married, and no other issues, either criminally, psychologically, anything like that.
Discussion from the board.
Personally don't feel that this incident raises any serious mental health recurrence issues. From the police report, I'm a bit concerned that perhaps the girlfriend's in conversation with her mother embellished the incident, and under heightened emotions, the mother called the police. Additionally, I don't see this as a kidnapping incident, I see this as a young man who picked up his prescription, waited for his girlfriend to come out of the bathroom, went grocery shopping, paid for his groceries, was walking out of the store, and was surprised to find that the police were there. So that's going to influence my decision. Other discussion? Time for a vote. Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
Appellant.
Chairman Overture.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Chief Rosenstein.
Appellant.
I vote appellant.
Thank you.
Nothing got to do with the order change there.
Call me off guard.